The reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, reading from verse 1 through 11. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience.
Let's pray as we look at that together. So remember those words from Hebrews 3, verse 7. As the Holy Spirit says, so Lord, as we look at this passage in the Bible, we thank you that you are speaking to us. We pray, therefore, that you'd help us to listen to you carefully and to respond to you gladly. In Jesus' name, amen. In today's passage, God has an urgent message for us, something he wants us to do. It's very important that we don't ignore him, and it's for everybody, okay? God wants us to rest. He wants us to rest. How does that sound to you? Tell you what, it sounds great to me. I've got a friend who went to a conference for ministers. The first evening, it was being introduced, and the guy at the front said, okay, first session is tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, but can I say that if the main thing you need to do is to catch up on sleep, you are very free to do that. And my friend said it instantly became the best conference he'd ever been to. I wonder if you would feel similarly. Is your life really busy? You know, for those of you who are at school, do you feel that just the work keeps piling up? You know, different teachers keep setting more homework. You hand in one thing, the next thing comes. And then there's all the kind of clubs and sports and other activities that you might do. Do you ever wish for rest? Seems to me that a lot of us feel overwhelmed, that our daily experience is a bit like the guy, you know, the guy at the circus who's spinning plates, and that he has to go and sort of spin one over here, and then there's one wobbling over there, so he has to dash over there. Do you feel like your life is like that? So much to do. You're just running from one thing to another. The pace of life is relentless. Or for others, it's not busyness. It's the burden of life being hard, painful relationships, health concerns. And maybe you're also weary of your faith being under attack from all around. Are you longing for rest? Well, then hear this good news from God. He wants you to experience rest. Now, he means more than he wants you to have a good night's sleep, though that is a real blessing, obviously. And he doesn't mean doing nothing, which sounds a bit boring. No, the rest that God offers us is nothing less than salvation itself, to be rescued from all of the frustration and toil and pain of our broken world, to be restored and refreshed and reunited with him in his heavenly home. That is God's plan for us. He wants us to enter his rest. And what he's saying to us in this passage is the offer of rest is there. Don't miss out. I understand that this Friday is what is these days known as Black Friday, when there are amazing deals to be found, especially on, you know, tech and electronics. It seems to me you can save an awful lot, but only if you spend an awful lot as well. But the point is, those deals are time limited. You can only get them on that day. So, and the ads that you see will make that clear. Sometimes the websites have a little ticking clock. The time's ticking away. Offer available now. Don't miss out. Well, it's not a bad summary of the message of this passage. Just look with me. The offer is there. Verse 1, look. Therefore, since the promise of entering this rest still stands. Verse 6, therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest. Verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You see, the prospect of rest is there, but with it comes an urgent call. Don't miss out. Do you know this thing in Hebrews that you need to look out for salad? Do you know that? So when the preacher of Hebrews calls Christians to action, he often starts with a lettuce or a let us. You have to look out for that. And there are two here. So verse 1, let us be careful. Verse 11, let us therefore make every effort. So before we look at this amazing offer of rest, we need to hear the first urgent warning, and it's this. Don't fall short of God's rest by not having faith. Don't fall short of God's rest by not having faith. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Now, I have to say, let us be careful is a bit weak. Literally, it says, let us fear. So it's let's be careful in the way you might be careful if you're rewiring a plug or handling dangerous chemicals. Be very careful indeed of the danger of not entering God's rest, our heavenly destination. And he says, you need to learn from an example, the example of what happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament who failed to enter the promised land. Saw a bit about that last week. Verse 2, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They heard good news. The word good news there is gospel. He's saying, strangely, they heard the gospel. They didn't hear about Jesus, but they did hear God's promise that he would rescue them and bring them to himself in a land that he'd prepared for them. That was the gospel to the Israelites. But he says it was of no value to them. They missed out on what was promised because they, well, most of them didn't share the faith of the very few who obeyed. They didn't have faith. Well, what does faith mean? Well, faith in God involves sort of combination of trusting him and obeying him. But the Israelites, when they were in the desert without food and water, they didn't trust God. Remember, they grumbled and complained. They wished they were back in Egypt. They accused God of not caring for them. Didn't trust him. And then when they got to the border of the promised land and were told by those who'd gone in and spied out the land how amazing and fertile and wonderful it was, they didn't obey God. They didn't go in. They wouldn't enter because they were scared by what they heard about the people there. They're so big and strong. Only those two people, Joshua and Caleb, trusted that, of course, God would help them as he had already. No one else shared their faith. They wouldn't trust and obey. And so they missed out. They didn't go in. God condemned that generation to live the rest of their days in the wilderness. They would never enter his rest. And the preacher to the Hebrews is saying, be very, very careful that we don't make the same mistake as them. Because he's saying, we're like them. We've heard the gospel in all its fullness. God has promised us that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we hold on to him, then we will be saved. Our sins are dealt with. God will take us to his heavenly home. Have faith in Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to do that? As with the Israelites, it means to trust and obey. Trust him with your sin. Trust him with whatever trials may face you in life. and obey him. God's people demonstrate they belong to him by their obedience. That's important. See in verse 6, those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience. And then verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So how do we enter God's rest? By faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting Jesus. And how do we see evidence that we trust him? By the way we obey him. And this is important, continuing to obey him. Isn't that a lesson that we have to learn from the Israelites? Because they initially responded to God's word through Moses at the start of their journey. They set out on that journey, but they didn't keep going. They stopped trusting God when life got hard, and they refused to obey God when they got to the promised land, so didn't enter. So the writer's saying, don't make the same mistake. You need to think about that. Can't just rely on what we've done in the past, as David was saying last week. Let's not be those who once heard the gospel and thought, great news, and started to follow Jesus, but now life's become harder, and we don't trust him. We kind of complain that he doesn't care about us. We don't ask for his help. We don't hold on to his promises. And let's not be those who've stopped obeying him. Well, maybe you think, well, hang on, none of us obeys perfectly. And of course, that's true. But the simple test is this. It's the one from Psalm 95, quoted in verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's the test. When God speaks to us through his word, which he always does when we open his word or hear it taught, do we respond? Do we respond? Do you know that question I once heard someone say, I found it helpful to think, when's the last time that you changed something in your life because of what you heard in God's word? It should bring change. God's people demonstrate their faith as they continue to trust God and obey him. Don't fall short by not having faith. There's the warning, but now the encouragement. The offer of God's rest still stands. The offer of God's rest still stands. This is verses 3 to 10, which I have to say do get a bit kind of tangly in places. But the point is that despite what happened to the Israelites, God's big plan to save and bring his people to himself hasn't been thwarted. His promise of rest still stands. You can see that in verse 3, see? Now we who have believed enter that rest. To believe is the same as to have faith. Most of the Israelites didn't demonstrate that faith in God, but we who believe in Jesus will enter God's rest. Now, of course, we won't get to live in that promised land in Canaan. So what is God's rest? Well, the preacher actually takes us through a number of steps. So first he shows us that actually God's rest existed way before the promised land, since the very beginning, verse 4. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. That's talking about creation, isn't it, from Genesis. After God created the world, we're told that on the seventh day he rested. And interestingly, that day was different from all the others. All the previous 6 days ended with the words, there was evening, there was morning, the first day, and then so on through all the other days. But the seventh day isn't described that way because it's a day without end. It's a day that God continues to enjoy. It's an eternal day as he continues to enjoy his finished creation. And we were made to enjoy it with him until sin excluded us from his presence. Well, so God's rest existed right from the beginning. Next, he refers to that first generation of the Israelites after the Exodus. And for them, the promised land was supposed to be their experience of God's rest, a land full of all kinds of blessings God prepared for them. But as we've seen, they failed to enter. The next generation, led by Joshua, did enter and they conquered the land, but that wasn't the end of the story. You can see the point that point made in verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. And that's back in verse 7. See, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Okay, I told you it was a bit tangled. But what he means is this. When David wrote Psalm 95, the Israelites were already in Canaan. They'd been in the promised land for many years. And yet in the psalm, God is still inviting his people to enter his rest and warning them against the dangers of missing out. The offer still stands. So he concludes, verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. God's rest is still open to us, still open to God's people today. And that has to be very, very good news, doesn't it? In many ways. It's good news for us in our restlessness. Many of us live restless lives, always frantically rushing around, trying to achieve this and that, trying to sort of prove ourselves through our activity, through our work or our career or our study or our image or our fitness or even our Christian activity. We're restless people so often. And it's good news for suffering people, people who are worn out by opposition and sickness and the pain of broken relationships and bereavement. And just think what good news it is for Christians around the world today who are living in fear. I was at an evening the other day just hearing about Christians in Eritrea, how desperately difficult it is, how much suffering there is there for them. What good news it is for them to know that rest, that promise is there for them. There's a glorious picture of what that rest will be like. In Revelation chapter 7, there's a description of God's people there. They're described as having come through the tribulation, that is a time of great suffering. We're told they're dressed in white robes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. What that means is they've been made clean and acceptable to God through Jesus' death. And then we're told this. Listen to these. These are great words. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Is that a glorious picture? They're there with the Lord, with Jesus, the Lamb, and he will make everything right. And that is the future that God promises for his people. He will set us free from all of the frustrations and trials of living in this broken world, so that we can know the joy of being with him and serving him without hindrance and be with him forever. It's a glorious offer, and it still stands. It still stands. So, final warning, don't miss out. See verse 11 again. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Make every effort. Might seem a bit strange when we think about rest to say, make every effort. Or other translations say, strive to enter that rest. Doesn't sound very restful. But what we need to take on board is that we don't get to enter God's rest by doing kind of nothing. We don't drift in. In fact, Hebrews says that if we're drifting, then we're drifting away. We need to be deliberate. We need to pay attention. We need to be careful to make every effort. You might say, okay, so what does that mean? I think we can see three things here. First, and most importantly, stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. It's through him we enter God's rest. Do you remember Jesus' words from the cross? It is finished, he announced. It is finished. As we believe in Jesus and his finished work from us, we are set free from having to prove ourselves by everything that we do. We so easily slip back into that, don't we? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Secondly, make every effort to obey him. It's that point about when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Whenever we hear God's word, we should think, Lord, how do you want me to respond? And then thirdly, making every effort means thinking of everyone, not just ourselves. By his use of lettuces, the author shows that he's talking about himself as well. He's saying, let us. Because every Christian needs to hear the warning and hear the encouragement. But that does mean being mindful of one another. See, verse 1 says, let us be careful that none of you, not one of you, be found to have fallen short of it. Verse 11, let us make every effort to enter so that no one, not one of you, will perish. So, do you see, if we're going to keep going to the end, then we need one another. We need to look out for each other. We need to encourage one another. God has made this amazing offer to us. God's promise of rest still stands for all who trust and obey Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of everything we are longing for. So let's make every effort to enter. Let's pray. Hear the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lord, we praise you for the rest that is found only in you, for the security that we have in you now, and for the promise of sharing in your rest in the future. So, Lord, help us to trust you, to obey your voice, to encourage one another as we look forward to that day. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.